If you could invite anyone, anyone you've known or heard of, maybe you didn't know this person, but you've heard of them, to come to your house and stay for a while, who would it be? We've played this game before. I don't know if it's been in the sanctuary, but we've played this game in the fellowship hall, I know. If you could invite anyone you've ever known or heard of to come and stay for a while, who would it be?
The genie in Aladdin.
Dare I ask why? You want those three wishes? Anybody else?
Gandhi.
Gandhi. Okay.
Cleopatra.
Peter wants to have a visit from Cleopatra. Jesus. He doesn't want to sound too pious, but Jesus. Well, thank you. That was a very nice entrance to our sermon. What would you do to get ready for the visit of that person? Most of us, when we're anticipating the arrival of someone we really love or admire, someone we're really looking forward to spending some time with, and whose company we fully intend to enjoy, we'll spend some time making preparations for their arrival. Most of us will want to make our space tidy and comfortable. Even if the person that we've invited knows that we're usually a bit of a slob, or even if they themselves are a little bit unruly and won't necessarily notice if the house hasn't seen a Hoover in a while, we'll nonetheless try to spruce the place up just a bit. We'll make room for them, maybe clear the guest bed of the papers and clothes and other things that have accumulated in that storage space, clean the bathroom they'll be using. And this we do, if not to impress the person, then at least to say, without verbalizing, you're worth making an effort for. I want you to know that you deserve my very best efforts. I remember as a little girl feeling my anticipation and expectation growing week by week as we moved deeper into the month of December, ever closer toward Christmas. Of course, the biggest event was Christmas Day, and the biggest night was Christmas Eve, when Santa Claus would come, possibly to deliver my deepest desire that year. But leading up to that big night, my parents would sometimes throw Christmas parties for their friends and neighbors, and those were fun because the house would become crowded with visitors who were dressed up in lovely, fancy clothes. There would be lots of laughter and music and candles, and there was a positive, palpable buzz of happy energy in the air. I was asked to circulate with silver platters of hors d'oeuvres, and I received lots of compliments about what a wonderful hostess I was. You're so much like your mother, and such a pretty little girl. It was wonderful. The house would have been decorated with lights and garland, a Christmas tree, and a green ball of artificial mistletoe hung just over the threshold of the vestibule, which the children, my brothers and sisters and I, all studiously avoided. But the guests seemed to have a lot of fun with it. Most years, my maternal grandparents would come, and we would always look forward to that. My grandma Holwerdahl, was a very affectionate woman, and she used to squeeze each of her grandchildren and tell us that we were her leiverskott. Now, to this day, I don't know exactly what that means, but I think it was Dutch for beloved, beautiful one. Somewhat close, I think, to the German Liebe Schön. How wonderful to be wrapped up in a big hug that always said, "You are my beloved, beautiful one." But always, before we had any visitors, my mom would insist that the entire house was cleaned from top to toe. "But Mom," we'd moan, "no one's going to look upstairs. And anyways, there are a lot of people who actually live in this house. There are 10 of us here, and no one is going to care that it doesn't look like the pages of Good Housekeeping." But those protests fell on what seemed to be deaf ears, just as my boys will tell you their protests do to this day in our house. My mom was teaching us the importance of getting ready. She was teaching us lessons about how we demonstrate honor and respect and dignity toward those who would enter into our personal space. And she taught us well, because we didn't simply learn that it was important to get the house ready for the people my parents wanted to impress. We were, it was clear, getting ready for Christmas, for Jesus' coming into the world. The occasion we were cleaning and decorating and making everything especially wonderful for was, first and foremost, about God's greatest gift to the world. Our home was to be a sanctuary fit for the King of Kings. The guests who might gather were all part of stoking the anticipation for his arrival. They were all merely part of the welcoming celebration for Jesus Christ, whose coming we were reminded each Advent that we should be expecting any day now, not just during Advent or Christmas, but each and every day of the year. As a child, I didn't grasp the concept of eschatological hope. I experienced and interpreted the world and what I was taught, much like most other Western children, very immediately and quite concretely. Because I'd been taught that Jesus had been taken up into the heavens in the clouds and would return the same way with blaring of trumpets one day, I periodically watched the skies and wondered how people in China would see Jesus coming at the same time as we in America did, or whether it would have to be more like Santa Claus, who managed to make his way around the planet each year in the short span of a nighttime. But I also recall hearing our lectionary gospel text from this morning and thinking that Jesus might be just a little bit more sneaky even than Santa. With Santa, who never managed to get spotted doing his magical work, at least all the children knew when he was coming, and they made sure to have cookies and milk ready for him, carrots and nuts for the reindeer. Matthew warned his readers that no one but God knows the day or the hour of the returning of the Son of Man. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I've grown, I don't necessarily understand the mysteries of this world any better than I ever did. The mysteries of some of the scripture texts continue to reveal new truths to me. I understand the mysteries differently, that's for sure, but not necessarily always better. And I surely know that there are more mysteries about life and death and faith than I could possibly have imagined as a little girl. But this much I have learned, and this much I know. God has come to dwell with us in Jesus Christ, and not just some 2,000 years ago. God in Christ has come to you and to me this past week. Perhaps in the same moment, quite possibly at very different times. And before that as well. And it's going to happen again. God came to us, God will come to us, and God comes to us in Christ Jesus time after time, time and again. But we won't be ready to receive the Savior. We may not even recognize who it is standing right in front of us. Unless we're getting ready for the event, unless we're preparing our space inside and out for the coming of this life-changing guest and friend. How are you preparing yourself, your physical space, and your spiritual space to make room for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us? What might you do in the days ahead to clear a little space for Jesus? Many of you are aware that the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, is a prolific writer of countless inspiring books. Among his writings are works of poetry. And the poem we're going to hear and have a chance to reflect on in different ways across the coming Sundays is entitled, appropriately, Advent Calendar. Please listen for where the Holy Spirit speaks to you in it. And when I finish reading, if you need something to focus on as you reflect on the poem, you might ask yourself, what can I do in the days ahead to clear a little space, to make myself ready for Jesus? Advent Calendar. He will come like last leaf's fall. One night when the November wind has flayed the trees to the bone and earth wakes, choking on the mold, the soft shrouds folding. He will come like frost. One morning when the shrinking earth opens on mist to find itself arrested in the net of alien sword-set beauty. He will come like dark. One evening when the bursting red December sun draws up the sheet and penny masks its eye to yield the star-snowed fields of sky. He will come, will come, will come like crying in the night, like blood, like breaking as the earth writhes to toss him free. He will come like child.